Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. And last week we began a series entitled Recognizing and Opposing the Spirit of Strife. Recognizing and opposing the spirit of strife. And we begin again. Tonight I'm going to show you the 10 sources of strife so that you won't even allow yourself to walk there. Pastor John said this past Sunday that strife is beneath you. And that's certainly the truth. I am convinced that if it's anything that can stop the flow of God's blessing in your life, is when you open your life up to strife. And when you open your life up to strife, it's like somebody hit the pause button. And all of the things that you know should be happening in your life are just not happening in your life because strife is hindering the flow of God's blessings, the flow of God's grace. As electricity can't flow through rubber, so likewise, strife is something that will hinder the grace of God from flowing through your life. And so we must not allow our lives to be put in strife to stop and to block what God's trying to do for us. So let's read James chapter 3, verse 16, and let's continue on with this. Verse 16, ready, read. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Let's read it again like you're alive. Ready, read. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. There go world changes. All right. So now notice how serious this reads. He says, envying and strife. Now he uses envy and strife because when you walk in envy, you're opening the door for strife. Envy and strife are going to operate on the same base. Envy and strife. You know, when you envy somebody, you have a sickening feeling at the success of other people. And when you start feeling sick, when you hear about other people being successful, other people being promoted, most likely strife has settled there as well. And because of that envy and that strife, look what the Bible says, where there is envy and where there is strife, there is confusion and there's every evil work. That's serious. Where you find envy, where you find strife, you're going to find confusion and you're going to find the potential and the platform for every evil work. Now, I don't know about you, but it's like, no, I can't do that. That's just, I've been believing God for too much for me to get into some type of rivalry or some kind of conflict with somebody. I ain't got time to be dealing with somebody else's drama that's going to cause me to have envy. See, you don't need to be envious of anybody because the same God that blessed them can bless you too. You see, God's not like the lotto. He does not work and operate through the luck system. God's desire is that everybody who believes him will walk in the blessing. So you don't have to walk in, you don't have to be envious of anybody. But where that is, where you find envy and strife, there's confusion. I've seen people who moved in confusion, and you like wonder, well, what happened to them? They're confused. And I guarantee you, when you find somebody that's confused, you'll find envy and you'll find strife that's there. But not only is there confusion, but there's every evil work. There are things you'll do and you don't even consider it being evil because strife is there. And you're not even thinking about things that are godly. You're thinking about those things that are filled with strife. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of strife is, there's confusion and every evil work wherever the spirit of strife is. And another thing you want to know, that strife divides families, it divides relationships, and it divides churches. Family, relationships, and churches are impacted when we decide to live in strife and invite strife into our life. In fact, racism is founded upon strife. Racism is the spirit of division magnified in hate. That's all strife. The spirit of division magnified in hate. It's more than just, I don't like you because you're one color, but it's deeper than that. It's supported by the spirit of strife. It's enhanced by hatred. It is a spirit of division. And so this is what the enemy's been able to use in the lives of human beings. I'll open the door for strife to come in, and I can divide and conquer as a result of strife being there. It is like somebody pushed the pause button, and you know you're supposed to be a lot further down the road, and you're not. You know that certain things should be breaking forth in your life right now, but it's not. You're trying to figure out what's happened with the excitement in life, the happiness in life, what's happening with the progress in life. Why is life no longer any fun? Because somewhere along the line, you have allowed the spirit of strife to settle in your life. And that's one of the reasons we're teaching this series, because strife will hold up the blessings that are right at the door trying to get in. Strife will hold up what God's trying to do in your life. It's right there at the door. And it can't, because strife becomes that big brick wall that's keeping back all of the promises of God, all of the blessings of God, all of the healing of God, all of the liberty. You're wondering, if you ever ask yourself, where is God? How come this is not working? I guarantee you, strife is somewhere in your life. Strife is somewhere in your house. It's not good to walk in strife. And so what's happened is a lot of people don't think about this, but they'll be in strife and not even consider that it could be robbing them from something. And I am saying to you, don't tolerate strife. I am saying to you, don't allow strife to attach itself to you. I mean, you could be living your life so upset, so mad, so contentious in with somebody else, and not even realizing, look at where you are right now. It's like you've been paralyzed in that one spot, and nothing else has been able to make any progress in your life. And I'm telling you, God wants to see progress in your life, but He cannot do it when you have absorbed and allowed the spirit of strife to be there. So again, how would we define strife? And I want to give you a biblical definition for strife. Strife is defined as a vigorous or a bitter conflict. So conflict equals strife. Discord equals strife. Antagonism equals strife towards others or someone else, or, you know, when you have discord, conflict, antagonism against another person or towards somebody, that's strife. Strife could include being in a quarrel. Strife could include being in a struggle or some kind of clash with others or another person. And it might even include an armed conflict, but it is not limited to being in competition or rivalry with someone else, or even competitive jealousy with someone else. Strife sometimes includes a bitter and even violent disagreement. And you can be in disagreement with somebody else, and strife comes as a result of disagreement. I saw a lot of that during the election. A lot of strife came because of the disagreement. People didn't realize, yeah, you're in strife, and there are certain things that have stopped because you've allowed a political disagreement to block some of the things that God wants to do in your life. And so disagreements amongst Christian people, disagreements over scriptures. You're going to see that tonight, that the Bible warns us don't become quarrelsome or enter into disagreement over words that are even spoken in church. And so we cannot allow strife to be a part of our lives. And so allowing strife to go unchecked or entering into your life, it opens the door to every evil work. Allowing it opens the door to every evil work. Why? Because when you operate in strife, I mean, strife is Satan, man. I mean, you're opening the door for him to come in and try to reap havoc in your life and try to amplify that even to a greater degree. Satan loves it when we're in discord with another brother. He loves it when we're in disagreement and we're in strife with another brother or sister in the Lord. And then he'll begin to feed you and tell you, you have a right to feel this way. I mean, just because you have a right for something doesn't mean you should necessarily do it. You know, Well, you know, you don't know what they did to me. This is the greatest way to stay out of strife, man. You know, what somebody does to you, that's not the real deal. The real deal is what you do to that person. Taffy and I practice this. How Taffy treats me is none of my business. My business is how I treat her. Well, that's how you stay out of strife. Okay, how somebody else on your job or in the world treats you is none of your business. Your business is how you treat them. And see, until you understand that, you're going to always open your life up for strife. Not how they treat you, not how they disrespect you, not how they talk to you in public. And then you feel like, well, you disrespect me. I got to rise up and get back at you. No, that ain't none of my business. You acting like a fool. That's completely up to you. My business is to make sure that I don't treat you the way you treat me. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if I know you or don't know you, I cannot or will not allow anybody to cause strife to come into my life to prevent me from going forward and making the progress I need to make where the kingdom of God is concerned. And so, I mean, I went to bed one night studying this. I said, oh, no. I mean, and people do stuff to you. They do things intentionally to you. But you got to see that the devil's operating through them to try to get strife in your life. You got to look beyond the person and see the spirit that's trying to influence them to try to get you in strife. Because most of the time what the enemy will do, if nothing else seems to work, strife seems to always work. Let me see if I can get somebody to talk about you. Let me see if I can get somebody to, you know, promise that they're going to pay you back your $20 and you ain't got it back in 5 months. And every time you see them at church, hey, man, what's up? Yeah, whatever. You know, over $20. Over $20, you're putting everything on pause over $20. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so we can't allow strife to go unchecked. I'm not saying that you'll never, ever be tempted with strife. I am saying you've got to be aware of it enough to not allow it to go unchecked. You got to check it. You got to check the strife. I mean, driving in New York, that'll fill you with strife. I mean, just on the way to church here tonight. I mean, I'm following this guy, and it's like, you know, he just stops and put his blinkers on. I'm like, all this is over here on this right side. You can't go over there. And I'm sitting up there like, can't you go over a little bit? Like he can hear me, right? And I'm like, man, that is a potential for strife. Oh, you being a reverend and everything, you mean you're tempted? Boy, please. That's not the issue. The issue is not, you know, you're never being tempted with it. The issue is don't let it go unchecked. You have an argument. Don't let that strife go unchecked. You have a disagreement somewhere. Don't let it go unchecked. Somebody, you know, tried to embarrass you or something like that. Don't let it go unchecked. You check it. You check it. Say, no, I see you. I know you. And I've been believing too long for God to come through my life and do things. And I ain't trying to block it up with no strife. So you get out of my house. A lot of times, whole households are infected with strife. And God can't do nothing because of that infection. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more strife. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 7 before I begin tonight. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. I tell you what, man. You allow strife to come into a church, it will tear that church up in record time. You recognize strife and remove it, and everything God's been trying to do will begin to show up in your lives. Amen. Proverbs 17 and verse 14, he says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. So he says, here's the beginning of strife, and he describes strife as, you know, the beginning of it. He describes it as, you know, as one that's letting out water. So it's the beginning. You're letting water come out, just like you're letting strife come out. But then he says this, he says, therefore, leave off contention. Now, contention is strife in debate. Contention is dispute. It's controversy. It's competition. It's striving in rivalry. And you know, you might have started off pretty sound. I mean, something simple as playing a basketball game, you know. you know, I'm good. No, I'm better than you are. No, I'm good. I'm better than you are. And then we get started and he gets ahead and just a little something right there is like the water coming out slowly. And then be careful because you might end up in strife. And he is saying here, leave off the contention before it be meddled with. Leave it all. And so what we're going to do, I want to say this before I start as well. Your peace is the greatest supplement there is. Your peace. And really what the enemy is after is your peace. Your peace is security in the midst of turmoil. And I told you, if you ever have to spend your peace in order to, you know, deal with something, I mean, if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. I said, if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. I mean, if you met a girl and it costs you your peace, she's too expensive. Bye-bye, lady. Bye-bye, lady. If you get a car and you can't sleep at night because you know the car note's coming up, don't get that car. It's too expensive. It costs you your peace. Now, what things in your life have cost you your peace? I mean, I don't want to get a big old house and I ain't got no peace. Yeah, I'm paying a lot of money for it, but I'm also paying my peace. When it starts with my peace, that is too expensive. I cannot live in a house that costs me my peace. Amen. Even with relationships, like I told you last week, how to identify fake friends. You cannot allow somebody to come into your life and it costs you your peace. Well, I want to be a good brother, good sister. Here's a good brother, good sister. That costs me my peace. You have too much drama in your life. Their emergency, they want, you know how people, I need to talk to you right away, call me right back. Don't allow their emergency to become your drama. Because you know what that means most of the time, right? It's an emergency, call me right back. You know what that means most of the time, right? I need to borrow some money. Turn to your neighbor and say, show you're right. All right, so let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Galatians 5, I'll share this, and we'll start with those 10 sources of strife. In other words, I want to give you some things to identify in your life that will, you know, I don't want you to have to look up every time and strife is right there. I want you to know when it's coming. I want you to be able to know that, you know, this has a potential for strife. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says this, for all... If you're there, Galatians 5, 14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is the key, man. This is the key to living a strife-free life. What is the key? Love. Look at verse 15. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, that sounds like strife, right? Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Let's look at that verse 15 in the Amplified. So love is the key to maintaining a strife-filled life. But if you step away from love, if you bite and devour one another in strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. Look what happens when strife comes in. Love is the key to living a strife-filled life. Love is the key to living a strife-filled life. And when you walk away from love, there's the potential for strife to be there. So strife, conflict, antagonism, quarrel, struggle, a clash, competition, disagreement, opposition, a fight. Let's look at the first source of strife. The first source of strife, anger. Anger is a source for strife. Anger. Now look at Proverbs 29, verse 22. Anger is a source of strife. It can be a foundation where strife can begin. Now, listen to me. Those of you who were here last week, we went back a step when we deal with anger. What is anger really? You know, it's an expression of fear. In other words, you know, God asked me one time, he said, what are you afraid of? I was angry. And I thought he was going to ask me, what are you angry about? He asked me, what are you afraid of? And that's the first time I saw that, that anger is an expression of what you are afraid of. That people get angry ultimately based on fear. What is it that I'm afraid of? And so if you're dealing with anger, You might fear that you're going to be rejected. You might fear that you're not going to be accepted. You might fear that you're going to fail. You might fear that you're not going to be, chosen for something. You might fear that someone may misunderstand you or look at you. There are all kinds of fears. But when you don't understand how that is expressed, fear in your life, ladies and gentlemen, is ultimately how you deal with anger. If you don't deal with the fear, then anger will be the expression of that fear. If you don't deal with the fear, then anger will be an expression of that fear. And if you don't deal with the anger, then anger will lead to the next stage, and that's strife. Anger will be the foundation where strife comes in. It's a man out of control. It's a man that won't deal with his fears. It's sometimes a man that won't recognize his fear. And he goes from fear to expressing that fear in anger, and from anger to strife. And once strife is there, there's confusion. He is confused, and every evil work comes as a result of that one area. It's not okay to be angry and not know why. It's not okay to be angry and not identify, what is the fear that's causing you to express that anger. Because once that anger is expressed, then when it gets into strife, then you can hurt somebody or kill somebody, because that's what strife is. Now it's the potential to do all those things that you said you would never do. Most people are in jail, not all, but most people in jail right now are there because of fear, anger, and the strife. When the strife comes in, that's confusion and every evil work, doing things that you thought you never would do. Well, I'm going to rob somebody because I'm afraid that I'll never be able to have this. I'm afraid that I'll never be able to get this. There is no hope. I'm fearing that there is no hope. And as a result of it, I'm angry because it doesn't seem to be opportunities for me. And then now you're in strife. And then that strife now is what's going to give you what you need to go and to rob and to do something that you would have never done before. This is serious. This is serious. Look what he says in Proverbs 29:22. He says, an angry man stirreth up strife. Look at there. And a furious man increases or abounds in transgression. So that's where it goes to. First of all, the anger comes. It stirs up strife. You become furious, and then you increase in transgression. You'll break a law. You'll break a law easily. But all of this goes back to fear. Not recognizing the fear, not dealing with the fear, allowing the fear to be expressed in anger. The anger is what stirs up strife. And then you become even more furious, and you abound or you increase in transgression. Transgression is the violation of a law. We got to get rid of anger. And you know how you're going to do that? You're going to need Jesus to help you to get rid of that. Because there's going to be the hope that you find in God's word that's going to get rid of that fear. See, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And you cannot allow fear to just run your life. You cannot be a person just full of fear. How do I get rid of the fear? You go to the promises of God, and you find out what God has promised you, and you stick with those promises even when the world is not offering you any promises. Hallelujah, praise God. You go and you look at Jesus, you look at the Word, and you grab hold of what He promised you in the Word. Because the world is not going to be able to offer you certain things. And so what happens when you come to the end of hope where the world is concerned? Abraham said he hoped against hope. And that just simply meant where there was no hope of an old man being able to have his own child, and he couldn't look at anything in the world to give him hope that an old man could have his own child. He began to hope against hope by using what God promised him, and he took the promises of God instead of the discouragement of the world, and he got rid of the fear, and the faith came, and the manifestation of that faith showed up in his life. And we got to learn how to do the same thing. Amen. Look at Proverbs 29 and 11 while we're there as well. Proverbs 29 and 11. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a little trick the devil's been trying to play on us. He says, a fool uttereth all his mind. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to get him a piece of my mind? Honey, it would be good if you just keep that piece to yourself. Because most of the time when somebody talking about giving somebody a piece of their mind, it's going to be some trouble, amen? Because just because you want to give a piece of your mind don't mean somebody's going to willingly sit down and they're going to let you give a piece of your mind. So what happens, he says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. So you got a choice you can make. You open your mouth up and just say everything that's in your head that you ever wanted to say. And oh, by the way, I don't like your mama either. You can say all of that, but when you say all of that, that's going to stir up strife. He says a wise man knows how to just keep it to himself and don't deal with that. Okay? And sometimes when you speak words and they stir up strife, you can't take those words back. Once they're out and they're in there, they may affect a relationship. Okay? All right, so that's the first source. Anger can be a source of strife. Let's look at the second source of strife. Ridicule. Ridicule. And that mostly comes from somebody who is scornful, somebody who will be dishonorable. They try to disgrace you. They try to despise you. A scorner. But look what he says in Proverbs 22 and 10. Ridicule. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been ridiculed before, but if you stay around that long enough, it'll stir strife up. It'll stir strife up. The fact you've been ridiculed or scorned by someone, or contention has come as a result of it. He says, cast out the scorner. So here's how you do it. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So if you're around the scorner or someone disrespecting you or someone that dishonors you, what he's simply saying is separate yourself from the fountain that's producing that. You know, for me, whenever, you know, I'm in the news or something, I'm not sitting there recording all the channels so I can hear everybody scorn me. You understand what I'm saying? No, because he says if you cast out the scorner and the contention will go out, the strife and reproach will cease. You don't sit under the fountain where you're being scorned. You understand that, don't you? I know some people who they don't get that. You why do you constantly hang around somebody that scorns you? Why would you do that? Somebody says, well, you know, I can't help it. I'm married to the guy and this is his mother-in-law. If you have a mother-in-law and a father-in-law, y'all need to have a talk. And the wife needs to be right there and say, look, here's the deal. We love you. We thank God for you. But I'm not going to come around you while you disrespect and dishonor my husband, because strife comes in my house as a result of the scorning and the disrespect that you put forth. And that you just, it's real simple. Separate yourself from that. I'm not going to hang around with somebody who all he does is says negative things about me. That's a fake friend. I'm not going to do that. That's a toxic relationship. Why would I hang around somebody that makes me feel bad? You know what? How do you even enjoy somebody? Are you the kind of person that says, well, the only reason I hang around because I ain't got nobody else? Dude, be by yourself. It'll be better. Buy a goldfish, a dog. Mouse. It'd be better than for you to hang around somebody that's just constantly dogging you out. Every time you show up, look at you, or say this, or say that. Don't do that. Don't hang around the scornful. If you do, then strife can come as a result of being ridiculed. And you don't want to hang around. That's a source of strife. Ridicule is a source of strife. Anger is a source of strife. Number three, let's look at another source here. Hatred. Hatred. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, 20. Excuse me, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred is a clear source of strife. A few weeks ago when they had the thing in, I think it was Charlottesville, and by pure fact that they were hate groups, if that was the name you would call them, hate groups, then that was enough to stir strife up. It was enough to stir strife. No, I mean, seriously, who wants to be around anything that has hate with it? Hate stirs up strife. It's like, you know, we hate you. You too. He almost said something. I'm like, you know. What? I don't want to have a discussion about hate. And look what he says. He says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love will cover all sins. Look at the nation we have right now. It is divided. Somebody said, no, it isn't. Where you been? It is. And somebody says, well, racism. Remember, racism and hatred go hand in hand. It's a spirit of division. A result of division comes from strife. It comes from hatred. And it comes from that sense of one race says it's more superior than the other race, and then the other race feels, inferior. And you've got inferiority meeting superiority, and you've got oppression and the oppressed, and that's a spirit of division. And if this country does not begin to deal with its past, there cannot be reconciliation without recognition. Let's recognize what has gone wrong. Well, somebody says, well, it wasn't me. I wasn't even born then. It ain't got nothing to do with it being you. But you heard what your granddaddy taught your mama. You heard what they taught you. Sit down at a table. Let's recognize where the strife was, and then let's go on. But that it's hatred. Hatred gives way to strife. And nobody wants to hear that, you know. You find out somebody coming to you, or they send you a letter. You know, hey, my name is, Jim Crow, and I hate you. See, the only way I can deal with something like that and still be a Christian is to recognize that even though you hate me, love is the way I stay out of the strife that your hate is trying to produce. I'm not going to let your hate produce strife in me. Because if I let your hate produce strife in me, I'm the one that's going to suffer from it. You know, even though you're wrong, I still can't let your... See, hate groups can come down the street right here. I don't want them to come down the street right here. We'll be on the side praying in tongues and everything. But I'm not going to let them manufacture hate in me. The Lord said to me one time, he says, don't allow hatred to recruit you into its thing. And what happens is a lot of good people allowed hatred to recruit them. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm gonna walk in love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love keeps you free from strife. Well, I don't want to love. You don't understand. Well, fine. You know, you can do that and rise up and be the resistant and do unto them as they do unto you. But I want you to remember, strife now has been invited in your life. What is now being blocked? What is now being blocked? And I have to think about that. I'm like, wow, I want to get back and cuss and do unto you what you did unto me, but that ain't how it works. And God is trying to warn us, that's not how you deal with that. The way you deal with that is you walk in love. I don't want to hear no walk in love. Where the bat at? Where the bottle's at? I don't want to walk in no love. See, you going to strife. And what's going to happen? You ain't hurting nobody like you hurting yourself. You hear what I'm saying? You ain't hurting nobody like you hurting yourself. Love covers all sin. Hatred stirs up strife. Don't let hatred recruit you. Yeah, but I got it right. Boy, just because you have a right doesn't mean it's right. You hear what I said? Just because you have a right doesn't mean it's right. And allow your rightness to be determined by God's righteousness. Amen? Not by you think you have a, right to walk in strife. And you do. You're a free moral agent. If you really want to know the truth, you got a right to do anything you want to. You got a right to go straight to hell if you want to. If you make your mind, you can. You can go straight to hell. And have a right to. And in fact, God will honor your free moral agency. He'll open the gate, prop it up for you, and say, welcome home. Because you're a free moral agent. You have a right to decide to do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying, make a right decision. Make a decision that's going to benefit you in a way that you want to be benefited. Don't buy this little thing about the hate groups and the spirit of division and, I don't like them because they black and I don't like them. That's just like saying, I don't like that Rolls Royce because it's black. I would rather have a white Rolls Royce because a white Rolls Royce drives a lot better than that black Rolls Royce. You sound stupid, man. Just give me the car. Don't do that. Well, I'm going to have only white dogs in my house. No black dogs here. I'm a white dog kind of guy. Because whatever's white appears to be a lot more superior than whatever's black. We sound, you know, well, I tell you one thing, Brother Dollar. I tell you what, I don't agree with, the mixing. You know, I think a white man ought to marry a white woman, and I think a black woman ought to marry a black man. I think you ought to stick with your own kind. Well, wait a minute. I thought because the kind was called human. Humankind. Now, I know a dog ought not to be with a giraffe, and a cat ought not be with a bull, and a human ought not to be with an animal. But we all humans with a different paint job. So somebody says, well, you know, you start mixing races and you start having children and you don't know what they are. They say, y'all up in the north, I mean, you got to come down south a little bit. They say that. Yeah, they say that. You don't know what they are. Well, you take a human and they hook up with a human, you get a human. A black cow and a white cow, you get a cow. Black dog and a white dog, you get a dog. A black man and a white woman, you get a child. And there's some advantages to mixing. You can get that child a tan where he ain't never got to lay out and get a sunburn. And you can save product on Afro Sheen products and all that stuff for the hair. It's foolish. It's crazy. It's motivated in hate. It's strife. Love covers a multitude of sin. Now, here at this church, as long as they're human, y'all help yourself. Y'all help yourself. Because you make pretty babies. All you're going to do is make sure that Taff and I have a pretty church. That's beautiful church. Crazy, man. Just dumb. Dumb. Yeah. Play that on the internet. Play that on TV. Don't cut nothing I just said. Play it all. Play it all. I'm like Bernie Mac. I ain't scared of you. Yeah. Because we're going to walk in the love of God, and the love of God covers sin. We're going to love people. You hate us, we're going to love you back. Amen. Talk about us, we're going to love you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And bless His holy name. Amen. My oldest son is white. Lily white. And boy, you should have heard the rumors they made up on that. Pastor Dollar must have married a white woman and divorced her. And kept it in secret all these years. Or must have been Pastor Taffy's son. She must have married a white man a long time ago and kept him hidden. You know, you don't see him a lot. Well, what do you say, Pastor? Nunya? And some of you saying, well, what does Nunya mean? None of your business. Go get you some. All right, let's look at, wait. Number four. All right, here's the fourth source of strife. And you can bear witness to this. Gossip. Yeah, say amen, you gossiper. Say amen. Gossip is the fourth source of strife. Look at Proverbs 26:20. Gossip, man, it's, you just don't understand what you're doing when you speak on somebody and you don't really know. You're just opening your mouth and saying what you heard. And the sad thing about it is when you gossip about somebody and you finally had a chance to meet them, you feel so stupid because they turn out to be the nicest, kindest, most loving person you've ever seen. You had the whole wrong idea of that person. Look what he says is, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. That's powerful now. The fire will eventually cease if you stop feeding it wood. All right? He says, so likewise, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Now, that's what it is. A talebearer, they begin to speak things that could potentially damage people and damage their lives. And you don't want to operate or allow yourself to be that gossiping talebearer who's walking around telling stories and sharing news that could really hurt somebody, could really damage somebody, and you don't even think about that. But it's something that we have to think about, that you can't be this talebearer. Always got your tail around somebody talking about something you don't know about. And you saying something that's messing people up. Well, I heard that he was this, or I heard that she was that. And you're destroying people's lives and just keep talking about that. Ain't good. That's not good, because remember what goes around. Y'all better hush now. A fake friend, you can tell a fake friend when he talking real bad about somebody else around you, he fake. What you think he gonna say about you when he around somebody else? Amen? Look at this scripture while we're there also. Proverbs 16 and 28. Proverbs 16 and 28. Amen. Proverbs 16, 28. And now watch this scripture here. I decided to teach this series like this because I really wanted you to see how much the scripture talks about strife. And so that you can take it seriously to get it out of your life. All right? Proverbs 16, 28. All right? A forward man. I mean, this guy... he does things, it's like willingly doing stuff to try to get stuff started. He soweth strife willingly. And a whisperer is the one that separateth chief friends. So this guy on purpose is sowing discord. This guy on purpose is doing everything he can to separate chief friends. And yeah, there's a lot of that going on. They have a piece of technology now that helps you to do that. It's called Facebook. Yep. And we've got to... sometimes that Facebook, it can make you real angry, man. A froward man is willfully contrary. I mean, he's doing it on purpose. What can he say? You know, the narrative that people begin on social media to try to make other people look bad. It's just, I don't know, sometimes it's probably good for you to take a break from the social media. Because the social media, it can do two things. It's for two reasons. Number one, for criticism and creativity. You use it to be critical or creative. And, you know, you don't want to put your whole life there, because you can be walking around with strife off Facebook. You wake up in the morning, first thing you read is Facebook, and that sets your day. You pissed off at everybody because of what somebody said. Really? On Facebook? You don't know them. You don't know their name. You don't know what they look like. And they're probably cowards. If you go to try to respond, it's probably something private you can't get into. Don't do that. It's your fault. You sitting up there setting yourself up by going and read something. You know, you already know how those people are. They're going to come after you. You know, you can have them something nice.
You can have like 30 posts. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's good. And it'll take but one person. That's jacked up. That's the most, look at, you look like an idiot. And that's the one you carry. 1 out of 100. And that's the one you carry. Oh, I'm finna get back with you. See, you on Strife on the phone. Oh, your thumb Strife. Oh, you, yeah. You praising the Lord and cussing at the same time. Oh, you ain't gonna talk about me like, oh no, you, oh no, I'm finna get you. You come after me, I'm finna come right back after you. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You might need to take a break from it in a minute. You might need to chill a little bit. I know when I'm in the news, I don't look at nothing. I know, I just can't imagine some of the cruel things that they're saying. I'm not gonna sit up there and feed on it. Don't do that. Well, it really hurt my feelings to see all that. It hurt my feelings. I ain't know y'all said it. Oh, you said that? I ain't know, man. You know, God bless you. Because I already know how I am. I ain't sitting up there looking at that, and I'm looking at that whole thing. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, snap. Oh, you know, I did that one time. One time I went like back, like way back, maybe 3-5 years, and saw everything that everybody had ever said. And the Lord told me, he said, boy, don't do that. He said, don't you ever do that. And I knew why, because when I did it, I didn't even know how I felt. I was just like, I'm finna go hunting. I'm gonna show you something. All right, yeah, I'm gonna show you something. And then getting up preaching, and you know all that's gonna leak out. You know, they said, and they said this, and people looking like, what's he preaching about? What's wrong with pastor, you know? I'm in Strife on the pulpit while I'm preaching on the love of God. That's not good. It's not good. All right, let's look at number 5. Here's a good one, selfishness. Selfishness is a source of strife. Selfishness, wow, is a source of strife. In fact, please listen to me. Anytime you are in the center of the circle, that is the master key to all bitterness and strife. Being in the center of the circle is the key to all bitterness and strife. That's why it shouldn't matter how your wife treats you. It should matter how you treat them. But when it matters how she treats you, that's because you're in the center of the circle. If it matters what other people are saying about you and it bothers you, that's because you're in the center of the circle. If you're often finding yourself offended, that's because you're in the center of the circle. You have to remove yourself from the center of the circle and put somebody else there in the center of the circle. Because when you're in the center of the circle, when everything evolves around you, then you are operating with the master key to all bitterness and strife, and that is self-centeredness and pride. Self-centeredness is the key to all bitterness, and what you've got to practice, because it takes practice, you've got to practice keeping yourself out of the center of the circle, that it just can't always be about you. Oh, but what about me? But what about me? But what about me? But what about my feelings? But what about what I want to do? No, you need to get... You got to start practicing putting somebody else in the center of the circle and take yourself out. Because if you find yourself in the center, you can get upset, offended, bitter, full of strife, contentious, all those things because you're in the center of the circle. You've got to get out of the center. So selfishness and self-centeredness is the key to all bitterness and strife that happens in a personal life. So, yeah, you can do that. If there's strife in your life, get yourself out of the center. The first move is let me locate myself, get myself out of the center. You know, you should wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let me locate myself. Am I in the center this morning? And a lot of times you'll find yourself in the center. But at least you recognize that you're in the center. And you know you need to remove yourself out of the center if you're going to get over these feelings and over these emotions. You know, I'll have some days sometimes where I'm just in the center. And the Lord said, you're in the center. I'm like, I know. I need to stay here just for a minute. And my wife will remind me, you know what, you just need to get out of the center. Yeah, I know I'm in the center. I'm going to stay here just for a minute, too. Uh-huh. I deserve to be in the center just for a minute. I've been out of that circle for a long time, and I'm going to put my black self in the center just for a minute and just let me enjoy my center because I need some me time, all center.
all center. But is the master key to that bitterness and that strife that you find yourself dealing with? So what he says here in James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, this is pretty serious here. In James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, man, selfishness, you know, we all deal with it. It's the thing that the enemy tries to put forth because he knows that through selfishness, he can cause some strife to come. And we've got to be aware when we're being selfish. We've got to be aware when we are in the center. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" Lust is selfishness, you know. You lust and you have not. You kill, you desire to have and cannot, look at there, cannot obtain it. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse 3, and he says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts." And lust is always based in selfishness. All the things that can be stopped and blocked up because selfishness is there producing strife in your life, and you got to get rid of it. Number 6. Here's this, the 6th source. This is interesting. You already seen it. The tongue. The tongue is a source of strife. You ever been somebody and they're just constantly talking and insulting you and stuff like that, and you like, you need to shut up. You need to put a muzzle on that thing real quick. Or you have to run away from it because you can't sit up there. You run in your mouth. Your tongue can be a source of strife. Look at Proverbs 18 and 6. Your tongue can be a source of strife. And as Christian people, that's not what our tongue is for. Our tongue is to speak good thing. It's to speak grace. It's to build up, not tear down. He says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Not a physical stroke, but I don't know. It depends on how long you'll hang on to it. Don't let your mouth, don't let your lips and your tongue operate under the control of foolishness. Don't allow that to happen. That will produce strife in your life. Number 7, the 7th source of strife, pride. Pride. Proverbs 13 and 10. This is a serious scripture here. Proverbs 13 and 10. Now, again, what is pride? Yes, it's arrogant. Yeah, arrogance. Yes, it's overestimation of oneself. Yeah, all that is true. But here's what pride is. Pride is unwilling to submit to God's way and God's word. A prideful man is not interesting in submitting to God's way and God's word. He wants to do it his way. Okay? A prideful man won't submit. A humble man is humble because he submits to God's way and God's word. Ultimately, that is the foundation piece of pride versus humility. A prideful man is in the center of the circle. A humble man won't be in the center of that circle. Now, look what he says in verse 10. This is serious. Only by pride. Well, when you use the word only, that means no other way but this way. Only by pride cometh contention and strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So if there is contention and strife in your life, it can only come because of pride. If you walk around full of strife and when you walk around in contention, when you walk around like that, it's because of pride. It can only come by pride. You can't become contentious and have disputes against other people unless there is pride in you. Well, that was a revelation to me that before I go to even blame the devil for strife in my life, the first thing I need to look at is the pride. Lord, show me the pride in my life, because where there is pride, then cometh contention. And it can only come, contention can only come by pride. So that's a revelation. I can't even argue with that. I want to, but I can't. Because if there's contention, if there's strife in my life, one of the areas I got to look at is if there is strife, there's an indication there's pride. There's an indication that I'm trying to do something my way and not God's way. There's an indication that I'm not submitting. And you know, when you want to become quarrelsome with somebody or want to get back at somebody, that is you trying to do it your way and not God's way. There's pride there because you can't get no contention without pride. You have to have pride or you cannot have contention. That's a powerful scripture there. And then look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5.
ultimately, pride becomes that base where all strife can begin to live and breathe. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Look at that. A guy who's in strife is a guy that's prideful. And the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace, what? To the humble. Well, how come he can't give it to the prideful guy? Because this guy has absolutely said, I'm not doing it your way, God. I want to do it my way. He says grace can't come to somebody that's doing it their way. Amen. And I want more grace to come to you, but it can't come because you decided to do it your way. Bible says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And every time we see you, you're walking around with care. That's pride. You're prideful because you have care in your life, and he said, cast the care on him. No, I'm not casting on him. If I want to worry, I'm just going to worry. You're prideful. And grace wants to come through, but it's like rubber now. It can't flow through that because you're prideful. You're carrying the care, and there's a grace to take care of all of the care, but you won't humble and submit yourself to his way. Cast all your care on him. So you're prideful. Now check it out. Now that you're prideful and you refuse to cast your care on him, guess what happens to a person that's walking around every day with care? It won't be long before a strife comes out. You'll be cussing somebody out because you're full of care. Hey, baby, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Don't be no praising no Lord. Blankety, blank, blank, blank. Y'all, if y'all knew what I was going through, y'all wouldn't be praising no Lord or going to Creflo Nim Church down there and all. Look at Proverbs 11 and 2 real quick. Proverbs 11 and 2. I'm telling you, man, this is some serious stuff. And I believe this is a season of extravagant favor. We're not about to allow strife to stop up what God's getting ready to do in your life. Man, I prophesy acceleration on this favor, man. That God is going to do some unsuddenlies and accelerate the favor. And like I told you early in the year, what it used to take a year to do, God's going to do it in a matter of months. What it used to take a matter of months to do, he's going to do it in a matter of weeks. And what used to take weeks is going to be done in a matter of days. And what used to be done in a matter of days is going to be done in a matter of hours. And what used to be done in a matter of hours is going to be done in a matter of minutes. And what used to be done in a matter of minutes is going to be done in a matter of seconds. We have a God that wants to show us extravagant favor. But we cannot allow shame to stop it all up. Shame too, but I'm just reading the scripture. Well, let's read it. He says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Well, now how you get that? Well, shame comes because, look, pride is going to move you into strife. Strife is going to move you into doing something stupid, and then you're going to be shameful for what happened, and it all started with strife, with pride, from pride to shame. And in between, there's contention and strife. Man, don't do that. You ain't even got time for that. All right? Pray. You got a blessing to get to. Amen? Let's look at number eight, the eighth way or the eighth source of pride. Quarrelsome. Being quarrelsome is a source that will release strife. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 21. Proverbs 26 and 21. Being quarrelsome. Now, not many people really think about this, but if you find yourself just a quarrelsome person, it can be the foundation of all kinds of strife. Verse 21 says, as coals are to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. Look at that in the Amplified. So is a contentious man, and that if you look at the word contentions, it used the word quarrel as a synonym. To that. In fact, it says in the Amplified, as coals are to hot embers and wood is to fire, so is a quarrelsome man to to inflame strife. So being quarrelsome, it inflames strife. And it becomes a source where strife can come from. And what you want to do is not find yourself always in a quarrel or a debate over something. Just learn how to let some stuff go because you don't want it to inflame strife and to be a part of that. And so let's go to the next one real quick. I want to give this to you. My time's almost gone. Disagreements. Proverbs 20 and 3 real quick. Disagreements will be a source of strife. So when you allow yourself, you know, disagreements, you know, it can start off innocent, but you've got to make sure that you know how to let it go. Verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. That's honorable. But every fool will be meddling. To cease from the strife and where disagreement is concerned is, you know, okay, I know you disagree with me and that's cool and you have a right to disagree and we can agree to disagree. That's a wise guy, okay? But to allow the disagreement to be the source of the division and the strife, it's not a wise thing to do. Even where arguments where doctrine's concerned. Number 10, arguments over doctrines and beliefs can produce strife. Arguments over doctrines and belief can produce strife. Now, remember I told you that grace people got to be gracious people? And, you know, not everybody understands the gospel of grace right now. Some people still see it as a license to sin. And you've got to make sure that you, you know, don't become argumentative over the doctrine or over the belief. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at two verses, verse 14 and then verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and then verse 24. He says of these things, and he's making reference to doctrine here, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So, I mean, you're getting strife over words, and then the people that are hearing this, they're becoming confused because you're fighting over words. Look at the next verse, 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. He tells us that we must not strive. What does it look like? We're in strife with one another over doctrine. Now, there are some doctrines I don't agree with, but I'm not going to be in strife over that particular doctrine. My belief is we'll just, you know, believe God and pray, and, you know, one day I believe you'll get it, or I'll get it, or, you know, God will straighten out whoever needs to be straightened out over it. But is it worth it? I mean, is grace, I mean, to the place where, you know, it produces that type of strife amongst leaders, and that's all that we have right now. Somebody says, prove it. Well, that's why you have 50, 100 million, 11 different denominations. Is it because there's strife over words? Nobody could sit down at the table and say, let me take you through the journey of the Bible and see these things and take note of these things. We would rather just, you know, do something that's contentious and disrespectful and dishonorable because of the disagreement. But we don't want to do that where leadership is concerned, and my time is all gone. Would you please lift your hands up? We're done. Would you lift your hands up? I want you to, first of all, before you start thanking God, I want you to say this out loud. Father,
I make a decision right now
not to give way to strife.
I will remain strife-free
because I decide to give way to love. Now, with your mouth, would you give God thanksgiving for what you heard tonight? Now, with your hands, lift your hands up, and with your mouth, I want you to give thanksgiving to God tonight. I want you to open your mouth and thank God for what you learned, what you understood about strife tonight, your deliverance from that strife tonight. And I want you to be free from that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke strife in your life, in your relationships, in your family. I rebuke strife in your organizations. I rebuke strife. You are not going to operate or give way to strife. And all that God desires to do, He will be able to do. All that God desires to do, He will be able to do. And I declare that all is well with you, your wife, your children, your husband,
your family, your finances, all is well. Nothing will be held up or kept back from you. And I pray that like a gushing of water, that the blessings of God will begin to gush through in your life in this season of extravagant favor. I thank you for it now, and we rejoice over it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and let's give the Lord a praise and give him a shout over it right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.